Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Friday, September 23rd, 2016. With me today, Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am excellent. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Glad you're here. And Brian Chaffin, how are you?
Judgmental.
And yet, I'm glad you're here. Actually, I really am glad you're here. I'm glad both of you are here. And I'm going to give everyone a little reminder. I have a podcasting class coming up at Boulder Digital Arts on September 26th. It's 3 hours in the evening, $69 if you're a member, $89 if you aren't. But you can use the discount code JGAMMETPOD16 and get 15% off, whether you're a member or not. And I'm going to take you from the very basic stuff, like how do you pick out a microphone, all the way through to how do you get your show on the iTunes store and then tell people about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. So come join me. It's
fun.
Great. Yeah. It's at BoulderDigitalArts.com, and I'll have the link and the discount code in my show notes. So anyhow, I invited you guys on today because I wanted to talk a little bit about this new acquisition that Apple has. Also, I wanted to be able to say tuple jump.
Sure.
Really, who wouldn't? Tuple jump is the name of a company that Apple has recently purchased, and they specialize in machine learning, artificial intelligence, and they have this this open source project, well, formerly open source project, called PhiloDB. And what it does is it lets you take massive amounts of data, suck it into a system, and then process it, like for analytics and other artificial intelligence, machine learning things that you'd want to do, process all of that in real time. And this, to me, just seems like a really great tool to add to the Siri arsenal. And if Apple is planning on making a competitor to Amazon Echo, and there's rumblings that Apple is working on a prototype right now, this would be a really handy thing to throw into the mix for that too. And I'm curious, what do you guys think?
I think that Apple is very serious about this this whole artificial intelligence, neural net, machine learning thing. Doesn't surprise me to see Apple making new acquisitions on that front. I assume that Apple will actually make many such acquisitions over the next, I don't know, 5 years, if not further. So I want to see Apple be a leader here. So this is all just fantastic news in my opinion.
Yeah, well, and this isn't the first acquisition they've made in this area. They bought Perceptio last year, and they bought Turi earlier this year. So they have systems that now can identify the contents of images, and it kind of looks like we're seeing the results of that in
iOS
photos.
10.
Yeah, iOS 10 right now, and so that. I think that's what Perceptio does. I'm trying to remember.
I forget the details on Perceptio.
Yeah, it's that's Perceptio. That's what they do. Turi, they have a system for distributing machine learning across multiple systems simultaneously. I think they do some other stuff too. But if you put it together, they have everything they need to make massive server farms that can distribute AI learning on a very deep level, and now add into that a system that lets them suck data in much faster and process it all in real time.
So here's my question about all this.
Okay.
Because that sounds great, except when you mix that in with Apple and their concerns about security, or more importantly, their stake in the ground about security, right? And that's not
privacy
necessarily, Well, yeah, okay, privacy, but security too. But privacy might be you see where I'm going with this. So privacy is probably a better label for where I'm taking this. Thank you. Because all of that data is only helpful if it can get to the server farm. And, you know, I know Apple says that they're working on this great way of sort of, you know, disambiguizing and hiding and all of whatever they're using. But, man, I get that, and I'm sure that works. But is it ever going to possibly be as good as, and now you, Amazon, or you, Google, have the actual words that I say in your cloud in order to help me with this stuff?
Sorry, finish your thought, Dave.
Well, I was going to say, I get that there is a trade-off, right? I mean, I always talk about the trade-off between convenience and privacy or security. This is one of those places where I don't know that if you choose privacy, like total privacy, there's enough technology to work around that and give you the same experience that you would get if you didn't.
Well, see, the thing is that this is one of the things that was addressed. Whether or not you choose to believe it and whether or not they're telling the truth is another issue. But this is one of the things that was addressed in the piece that was done, I think, in Fast Company. It was one of the barrage of interviews we had about 6 weeks ago. And the difference here is that I'm going to put it this way. This is not the way Apple put it. Amazon is training a parrot, and Amazon is teaching Siri how to think. And that's the difference.
You mean Apple is teaching Siri how to think?
Thank you. Apple is teaching Siri.
That was really good. Yeah. Brian has to do that a lot.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. But still, like, you and I can have a conversation that I cannot have with someone I've just met. Right, you and I have known each other 20 years, and you know a lot of things about me personally. Mm-hmm. So there's so there's a lot of shortcuts that you and I make.
Oh, that's interesting. So this is actually one of the things that a certain person has talked to me about. Not anyone at Apple. Just someone I can't name, and I probably shouldn't even mention that, but now that I've gone down the rabbit hole, I should open it up a little bit. There are ways of having machine learning know the results of information without retaining that information in the exact same way that we as humans do. Similar.
But also BS, right? Because you know where I've lived, right? You know, in a general sense. I mean, maybe you don't know my addresses off the top of your head, but if I mention, you know, Kansas, Texas, and Colorado, and say, tell me which of those places I lived, you know that Texas is the only one, right? And the only way you know that is because you know things about me. You can't intuit that based on the phrase that I just said, right?
Well, okay, that's fine. You're coming up with a specific example there, but let me give you a counter-specific example.
Sure.
Can I know that you live in a house without knowing your address? And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
That is an example of the kinds of things that machine learning can understand without necessarily retaining the specific knowledge of how it got there.
Right. No, I get that. But and that's the question is, can you have the experience with that level of granularity and then a wall versus no wall and any level of granularity, right? Well,
but the fascinating thing, I'm sorry, Dave, once again, I interrupted.
That's okay. Please. Well, it's we're having a conversation here. It's fine. Because I don't think you can, right? Without knowing, like, for example, without knowing my kids' names, how does, you know, if I ask Siri, you know, tell me what time is Skylar due home today? Or what time is my daughter due home today? Like, if it can't know because of privacy walls that those are the same people, then that becomes far less valuable to me.
I hear you, but I have a couple of things on this. One is that despite slurping, I mean, this what Google is doing and what Amazon are doing, where they're just basically eavesdropping on your life, it's making them lazy because they're teaching parrots. They're teaching the machine how to react to things that it recognizes instead of teaching the machines to understand what the heck we're actually saying and wanting and doing, right? And on top of that, I would argue, because I was so in your camp. I was so in your camp about this for such a long time until we got this insight on what Apple is doing. And it turns out that Apple says that, yes, we can do this and maintain this wall of privacy, because our way of approaching this is a more holistic way, and it's a longer term approach to actually having these machines be able to interact with us.
See, this is where I think Apple is great at marketing what Apple does, right? Mm-hmm. Because they've moved the goalposts, right? Instead of it being about privacy, and this is the argument you just made, so I'm assuming Apple's making the same one. Instead of talking about privacy, what we're talking about is the depth of the strength of the engine, right? Where we've got one engine that, like you said, is just being a parrot, and another engine that's actually interpreting what you say, and at some level, and I don't want to get all crazy about it, but at some level, thinking, right? And we're just going to apply a blanket term there, and we're not going to get crazy about robots taking over the world yet. So we've got machines that are parrots and machines that can think at some deeper level than being a parrot. That's great, and I'm glad Apple's doing that. But what I want is, you know, Apple's saying you either have a parrot that knows everything about you but is just a parrot and only lizard brain, right? Or you have this much richer, deeper thinking experience, but it doesn't know everything about you. And it's like, whoa, guys, I want the much richer, deeper thinking experience that also knows everything about me. Because that, if we can compare apples to apples, as opposed to thinkers to parrots. I have a parrot in the house. I know exactly what you're saying. Hi, Hector. There is no way that Apple's privacy walls are going to give me the same experience with, say, Google's thinking engine that we don't know about yet that has all of my information. And I want a personal assistant, a digital personal assistant, that knows everything about me. That makes the experience richer. If there are things it cannot know, by definition, that's going to dilute the experience, limit the experience.
Yeah, and I'm with you. You want Sam, by the way, is what you want. But
I want Jane. No, I want Jane.
And I'm just Commander. Happy with Knowledge Navigator.
yeah.
But what Apple says that it can do is that it can keep that knowledge about us on our devices.
Okay, and somehow like do a translation engine thing.
Yeah, and that's what I was wondering about. Can Apple do a hybrid system where that deep knowledge about you stays on your device and the rest of it is handled by this massive server farm that totally gets how to understand normal spoken language?
It can, except when it comes to understanding my relationships with other people. Because if your private data about you is kept on your device and my private data about me is kept on my device, it makes it very difficult, if not impossible, to relate us to each other in a meaningful way.
I suspect at some point that will become a family extension option.
Yeah, but I want more than a family. Like, okay, I work with this person. Or, I mean, again, you know, as soon as you do that, if you do the family extension option, where is that data stored, right? Right. Are we now storing it in the cloud so that Apple can know about it? Or am I storing information about all of my family on my device and all of my family's devices? This gets really interesting. And
it does. And the question is Apple telling the truth when it says it can do this? Because if Apple is not telling the truth, then I'm back in your camp and I'm completely like freaked out and worried about the future. Well, if Apple is telling the truth and they can actually do what they say that they can do, and it seems like they have an enormous investment in machine learning and neural nets within Apple that's actually transforming the way the company does things, even let alone transforming our products.
Right.
If Apple's telling the truth about this, then giddy up.
Sure. If they can make it happen, great. I don't know everything about computers or really, I don't know everything about anything, but it seems to me like if you put a wall up on what data is accessible, where there are naturally limitations to what technology is going to be able to do. And that is very evident right now, by the way, and it's not just the data, but it's the implementation thereof. I was at Pepcom last week in New York.
Mm-hmm.
At Pepcom, there were like 85 companies or something. Of those, a sizable number, maybe 15, were home automation companies in various capacities. And, you know, this is not an Apple-focused show. It's just a technology show. And every one of them said, oh, Mac Observer. Okay, so either, yeah, we have HomeKit support, or, yeah, we're going to have HomeKit support. And with all of them, that was followed up by, but, you know, it really doesn't matter because we have Echo support. And
interesting.
They said, you know, Amazon is eating, it's not going to eat Apple's lunch, is eating Apple's lunch with this. Apple screwed the pooch on the HomeKit rollout. I'm not even convinced. I know it's better in iOS 10, but it's still this thing where you have to have these.
It's actually worse for me in iOS 10, but
you have to have these devices that are built to talk to Apple's system. And so anything that you've had that doesn't like play exactly in that ecosystem is 100% non-functional. Whereas Amazon, the whole, you know, Echo Alexa powered platform is just Wi-Fi. You know, we can talk to anything, and we've got an API, and if that thing has an API, we can hook it together, and you can hook it together, or we can, or they can. Whoever wants to do it first, great, get it done, make all the stuff talk together. And that's where Apple's problem is they are not interested in making all the stuff talk together. They're interested in making these very few things talk together in a way they feel is richer, but the consumer experience today is not that. People with Alexa love it. People with Siri complain about it.
You know, Dave, you're making me want to get an Amazon Echo.
Here's the thing. $50 and you can go buy an Echo Dot. That is the same thing as a full-size Echo, except it doesn't have a good music speaker in it. It has a speaker, but not a good one, but it's got audio out, so you can plug into another speaker, or Bluetooth out, so you can plug into your Bluetooth speakers, or if you're a Sonos user and you don't care to play music through your Dot, you can play music through your Sonos coming sometime the end of the year. That was the announcement a couple of weeks ago from Sonos and Amazon, and then you're good to go. So $50. For a Dot. Good to go.
You know,
it comes out on October 20th. Pre-order now.
I may have to pre-order one so that I can test this out. Because right now, my experience with HomeKit has gotten to the point where I am considering pulling out the HomeKit-enabled smart switches that I have.
Yeah.
And putting Wemo, just the Wemo switch back in.
Yeah, but I think if you go to Alexa now, you have your cake and eat it too.
Which is really kind of enticing. Yeah, if I'm on my home network, I can do anything with HomeKit. But with iOS 10, once I leave my network, I'm completely cut off, and HomeKit just dies.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy. I will point out, my father-in-law and his wife, have an Alexa. They were preaching to me about how great it was this summer. Somebody gave it to them as a gift, and they're like, do you have one of these things yet? It's awesome. These are people that are not averse to technology, but they're not like us. They don't care to live on the bleeding edge. And it's them and people like them that have been raving to me about how awesome Alexa is.
All right. Well, at $50, I mean, for what I do, I don't need a big fancy speaker in it.
No, No, and you probably, because of what we do here, you probably have a couple of speakers that if you really wanted to, you could plug into that thing.
Yeah, that would not be an issue.
Correct.
I think you just made me spend $50, Dave.
I'm sorry. I spent $100. I bought two of them. If you buy five, they'll send you six.
Oh, well, isn't that
which
awesome?
Is interesting, right? I mean, and if you buy 10, they'll send you 12. They want you to have these things in every room so that you don't have to think about where you are. You just speak. And their far-field voice recognition is, I mean, nobody's touching it. They own the market on. Nobody's close.
Wow. All right. Well, I'd buy it right now, but we're out of time, so we have to wrap up, and then I can buy it. Dave, thanks so much for being here today.
My pleasure. It's fun.
Yeah, this is lots of fun. And Brian, thank you for being here too.
Yep.
And listeners, thank you for joining me yet again. We'll see everyone on Monday.